You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Joe.
It is our number two Sports Hangover. Enjoy the intern saying hello to Tommy. One of the listeners wondering why like this on the radio. Doing a little tower work, folks. It's going to be done here sooner rather than later, we promise. In the meantime, tune in radio app. You can also stream us as well on the computer at ESPN100.3.com. Tune in app's absolutely free to go check us out. And it sounds like you're literally sitting right next to Joey. Joey, what are you eating for lunch today so people know what your breath will smell like when they're sitting next to you in the studio?
Cloves of garlic.
There you go. Cloves of garlic. See? Easy enough to go do
and
that.
And bacon.
Yep. Cloves of garlic and bacon. Jordan, the intern's done a little bit of homework as we're talking a little Pels coming to bottom of the hour in terms of some of the best ways to win. Because, look, what you want the most is to win a lottery. Win the lottery like the Pels did when they got Anthony Davis. I mean, you have a whole bunch of opportunity because you hadn't even traded AD yet.
You get Tatum.
Let me ask you this. If the Pels win the lottery, I think the new general manager's phone rings and it's Anthony Davis. My God, what's going on? I want to come back.
I want to play with Zion.
Play with Zion.
No, too late for that. That ship has sailed.
Would you? Would you sail the ship? If you win the lottery, then you draft Zion Williamson, and AD says, I want to come back.
Then what message are you sending to the players that you currently have?
Well, again, I hear you. I'd be tempted.
No.
Really?
No.
Top five player to go along with Zion?
The guys that have dedicated themselves to this team this year.
Oh, no. I mean, he's going to have to grumble. I mean, yeah, he's going to have to apologize to them because he wasted this year. I get it. But Zion, AD, Drew, then you fill out the rest of that roster? See, I got you thinking, huh?
A little bit, but I'm very tempted to say deuces.
Deuces, huh? Deuces no matter what. All right, fine. Don't forget, next Tuesday, we're going to be over at the Ellendale Country Club, the Mary Bird Perkins TGMC Golf Classic. It's Tuesday, April 9th. It's the Pro-Am Day. If you want to go play with some future PGA stars and support the fight against cancer, and the next Friday is the Global Tournament that starts at 6:30. For info on both events, TGMC.com is the way to do that. Talked to Little Saints earlier in hour number one. If you missed it, PJ Williams, 1 year, $5 million deal to come back with your New Orleans Saints, joining a pretty much secondary that was there last year. And that's fine. I think it's not a bad secondary, for sure. One of the things that Brian and I talked about in that second segment an hour ago, maybe you don't use the three safety look nearly as much. I still think you need some depth there at the safety position. I mean, if Bell and Williams gets hurt, you need somebody that you feel can step in there, right? But I think one of the reasons the Saints played a three safety look was because they didn't have very good cornerback play. I think Eli Apple played well for coming across from another team last year. Give him a whole off season to get going, and let's see where this team's going to go. Don't forget, April 22nd is that first day of off season conditioning program for your New Orleans Saints. OTA workouts, May 21st through the 23rd, 28th through the 30th, June 3rd through the 6th. That's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday lineup. They've done that forever since Sean Payton's been here. And then the mandatory minicamp is a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's June 11th through the 13th. All right. So May 14th is the draft lottery. And look, Joey, like, I'm not kidding. Like, we're going to have I think we should get people from every denomination, religious people, non-religious people, like, whatever. May 14th. We're going to ask listeners, what is it that you do for good luck on a game day? Big game for your school or your pro team is coming. What do you do Do you eat certain things? Do you go to bed at a certain time? Do you wear a certain article of clothing? Because we want to make sure Tuesday, May 14th, the entire city's on board. We need every good bit of juju that we can get on May 14th. But Jordan did a little research. There's an article. Where is it from?
INC.
Okay. And 20 ways to attract good luck. Joey, you paying attention? You know what? This could go on just not for the Pels, but there's a lot of us out there that could use some good luck.
It's not like a physical thing that you have or that you do. It's more like a plan.
Okay, it's a plan. It's a plan to get better luck. In other words, this article is probably how to make your own luck.
Yeah,
okay.
Correct.
All right, how to make your own luck.
So number one, we have fail more.
Which
the Pelicans have done.
They've done.
This past season. They failed more.
Just the sound of a tank. Here it comes, all right?
And number two, which we are currently in the process right now, is examine the choices you've made.
Very important. You got to examine everything that you do.
Especially with the AD, examine why he turned down
Like I told you, I'm telling you, Gail Benson had a moment. You have to imagine that person had a moment when, who walks away from $240 million? Like, what did I do? Why are we so bad that you would walk away from us?
And then number three is prioritize speed over greed. And you kind of brought the good point, bringing in Christian Wood. Instead of like kind of looking around the market, just bringing that guy in and see what he can do. And he's done a lot of good for this team.
Right. Sign a European player as well, remember? Let's just see what they can do.
Number four, expect good things to happen.
Exactly. Positive energy.
Which is what we're doing right now.
Positive energy is what I keep saying. On Tuesday, final game of the year, next week against the Warriors, don't boo AD, who won't be playing because of back spasms. But no, thank him.
Thank him.
Because actually, this may turn out to be the best thing long term, right? Look, you heard yesterday on the air with one of our guests use the analogy Jake Madison said that when you get dumped or you get broken up with, you look retrospectively as to why, and you're probably going to be a better boyfriend the next go around, right? I mean, you do. You look at, okay, well, what happened? Why did that fail? And I think this is the case. I mean, when you hear, and we'll speak with Jeff Duncan next segment, Dennis Lauscha say, we need to run this team more like the Saints. We need to be consistent like the Saints. You hadn't heard that. I can tell you from talking to people that work over there, they haven't treated it like it. You have to staff it that way. You have to run it that way. More importantly, you have to hold them accountable that way. You think the way the Pels are run and performed and had all that, you think that would fly with Sean? Sean knows what kind of gum is put in the gum bank that you will not steal from this year, by the way.
That was 2 years ago. I haven't done it since my first time.
Thank you. That gum is not for you. It's for players. Walk past the gum bin going into the locker room.
Number five. Do more good. And more good will come your way. Trading away Nico for a bag of chips, some could look at it as a good thing in juju luck. So, having good juju.
Okay. Number six.
Make a plan.
Yeah. What is your philosophy? What are you trying to do? When you start interviewing these GMs, again, we had this show before. What are some of the questions that Dennis Lauscha, Mickey Loomis, Gail Benson will be asking these candidates when they sit across from them? I told you one of mine is, where do you see the NBA in the next couple of years? Like, I want to know, not right now. This is easy. The easy part is, what are you going to get for AD? The easy part is understanding that. I want to know what you're thinking. I want to know that you're thinking ahead. What is the trend? What do you see the NBA doing? What do you see some of these guys doing? Who do you think are the next set of teams you're going to have to contend with the next couple of years? Golden State's run's coming to an end at some point in time here, in the near future. Does Durant leave after this year? Does Klay Thompson go and get his? It's not going to be the same if those two guys leave. Draymond Green, right? All that. So who are the teams that are building? Who are the teams that have young youth? Talented players are going to be the next crop. LeBron's era is going to start coming to an end here. You can see single-handedly, it's getting older, right? So I need to know future. That'd be one of my things. So that's a good point. Next. Right.
Seven kind of ties in with five. Be generous. Kind of went over that one. Eight, consider increasing luck as a two-step process. So we get the first pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe look at it to where we could trade AD for something else. And I guess if that's how you want to look at it.
Yeah. Well, it says the first thing you need to do is to change the system. In other words, help yourself to have better luck.
Help yourself before you help others.
Exactly. And you can help yourself by making this decision. Look, I actually think I would like to have a GM in place. I'll be honest, by the NFL draft. I'd like to have that person in place a good 2 weeks before the NBA draft lottery. Wouldn't you?
Correct.
Definitely by the end of April. Like, I think by the end of April, this team should have a new general manager. Next.
9. Hire people with a stellar character.
Big hire will be the GM, who, as Gail Benson has said, and we'll speak with Jeff Duncan next segment about this, will basically be the president of basketball operations. Report directly to the owner. More importantly, who you get is going to determine how the rest of the league treats you. It probably wasn't good that the former commissioner called Dale Demps the worst general manager he's ever known in his life. If the former commissioner felt that, you kind of wonder what other GMs around the league felt. That's probably going to determine how they do deals with you, right? That's one of those, they cover, you know, the phone with their hands and go, dude, they'll actually take this pick. You know what I'm saying? Like, they may try to swindle you on every move because they think you don't know any better. So I do think that pick is going to be important. How that person's viewed around the league, how that person sees the league, that's going to be a key. Number 10.
Invest in tomorrow.
Boy, you could take that in so many different areas. Technology, youth, groundwork and swell. In terms of grassroots in the city. Look, one of the complaints that I heard out there that AD's parents felt, never saw him. Never saw him. That's a legit gripe. Now, you could say that's his agent. You could also say that's the organization. His agent's not in charge of posting billboards or making them available and putting them places. Now, I know the Pels go do things, you know. They'll go do the Reed studies and they'll go to schools and do that. But let's be honest. The Saints are a lot more visible. But both sides can do more. Sean Payton limits a lot of that. I've talked to some people in that organization. They'd love to do a lot more. Social media presence. Sean has a certain view on that. The NBA doesn't. You can do a lot more and should be doing a lot more to make those players visible. Brian Nolese brings this up all the time. The Saints have done a great job of embracing the culture of this city. The NBA's team still sort of feels like, okay, well, Benson bought them. And that's what it's been like. And that's why we're going to talk with Jeff Duncan about this. I think this is why the AD thing might turn out to be good. There is no denial that the Saints are New Orleans' team. Right? How many people have the Pelican logo or Pelicans tattooed on them? There's a lot more people probably have the Florida League and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm getting at. Is that maybe now they'll do that next step. How do you make that franchise synonymous? One in the same. They haven't. They haven't since they bought them. Let's be honest. They haven't. They've been like, okay, that's the team on the other side. I mean, as far as they've gone, is, well, we train in the same area. But they haven't treated it the same. Quick break. When we come back later on this hour, we'll go through 11 through 20 on ways to be more luckworthy. I like it. Jeff Duncan at TomSpecuno.com is next. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Southern Nights. Oh, yeah. For over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy Buick new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way to say thanks to all of you for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that new or pre-owned any make and model? Give us a call at 325-1000 or visit us on the World Wide Web at goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, Chevy, find new roads.
Golf is a four-letter word, and at Golf Tech, that four-letter word is sale.
Sale.
Right now, our swing evaluation and club fitting are both on sale for only $95 each. So, get your game on with stroke-saving lessons and perfectly fitted clubs at Golf Tech. Find your nearest Golf Tech at golftec.com. Visit golftec.com.
Swing better. Play better. Golf Tech.
Napa Know-How.
Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa Auto Parts, Marine, and Industrial Supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts' five locations, Lockport, LaRose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa Know-How.
Keep your tax refund in your pocket and get a new home. Zero down programs are available at Homas Clayton Homes. Any income is income. SSI, disability, child support, we take it all. Visit Homas Clayton Homes on Highway 311 or check them out on Facebook. And remember, when you call 985-872-2850, if that old trailer house has got to go. That's Homas Clayton Homes on Highway 311 in Homa.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. At Jeff Duncan _ is the way to follow Jeff Duncan of the TownSpeakUNOLA.com over on Twitter. What's going on, Jeff? How are you today?
Hey, Gus, I'm doing good, man. What's going on with you?
Doing well, man. Enjoying this nice spring weather. We got plenty to get into. Let's kind of start where we were just leaving off in this final segment before we came to you. We're talking about the Pelicans, and we're having a little fun today, obviously, who to root for and who not to, so they can move up to seventh in the odds of winning the draft lottery. But I want to go to where you were in the owners' meetings when Gail Benson, to me, I thought in two sentences, three, call it a paragraph, probably said the most important words and phrases really that in, you know, since she's taken sole ownership of both teams, when she says she wasn't going to sell the team ever and that she views herself as, you know, the ambassador sort of the assets of this city, that the two franchises, and that she's going to make sure that they were going to be here for a time to come. That to me almost laid out like when you're thinking now of like presidential candidates for the 2020 race, leading or laying out your platform. Like, to me, I heard that and I'm like, okay, so this is the platform of what Gail Benson's legacy is going to be.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Gus. I was sitting with her when she said that, and it struck me as, very prescient what she was saying. She understood that the fan base is frustrated in New Orleans, that they haven't been able to have consistent success with the basketball franchise like they've had with the Saints, and they know they've got a lot of work to do to turn that basketball club around to gain or regain the trust of the fan base. And I think what she said was spot on. It was refreshing to hear an owner come out and admit that really it's not their team. And I just don't hear that very often. I've made that case in columns before. I've made that case about Tom Benson. I mean, Tom Benson did not, he's a franchisee. People tend to think it's his team, and technically it is, but they award a franchise to a city, and then they go out and find an owner. Mm-hmm. I've always felt like that gets lost among people, that the fans, everyone, even the owners themselves, they're just running this team for the city is the way I look at it. It's not their team. It's the city of New Orleans' team, and they're the franchisee, and she gets that. It's an asset for the city that she is going to steward during her tenure, and then she's going to hand it off to somebody else. And that's the way it works. It's not all about one person. That's why I always think it's repulsive when these owners threaten to move a team when actually the team was awarded to the city to begin with.
That's a very good point, Jeff. You're absolutely right when you're threatening to move it. That's right. The NFL awarded that city the franchise, not that individual person. That's a very good point. I think, and that's why I was saying that it stood out to me, because look, let's be honest, and you know this from just conversations out there when we're doing Saints stuff, you know, on how they've shared a lot of different areas. And I say this jokingly, and then it became serious to me. I actually think what AD did might have been better for the franchise long term in this, Jeff. It was an awakening. At some point in time, I'm confident of this. I don't know if you asked Ms. Benson, but I have to imagine at some point, any normal thinking human would sit there once that decision was made and ask yourself, who walks away from $240 million? And as the business owner, you're going, why would he tell me no? I was giving him $240 million and he's telling me no. How bad is my business to where you don't want that? And I think it's an awakening. I mean, because not just her by what you're telling me, then Dennis Lauscher comes out and says, hey, look, we need to make this more like the Saints. So to me, I think it woke up everybody over there.
Yeah, and that's just the Anthony Davis situation. I agree with you. I think it was a crossroads moment for the franchise. Everything was all in on trying to retain him. And once he and his representation made that decision, it kind of created a new pathway for the organization. They knew that they had to clean house, and there's going to be a lot more changes going forward, I think. And it's going to be a new start. I think fans are ready for that. I think they're tired of the same old voices and names associated with this franchise. They want to see, I think, some new vision and some new ideas being presented. It just, for whatever reason, it didn't work under Del Demps. His plan, I understood it. It seemed to change year to year. And I think fans got too frustrated with that a long time ago. And to the credit of the Pelicans and ownership, I mean, they pride themselves on stability and trying to stay the course and back their people in leadership positions. But in this case, I think everybody was ready for the change.
At Jeff Duncan _ is a way to follow Jeff Duncan on the TimeSpeak, UNOWA.com. The other thing that I thought stood out in that owner's meetings is, man, it sure did seem like Sean Payton ain't just for the Saints in New Orleans anymore, huh? Are we seeing a little change in Sean here, not only in how he's viewed by other coaches? A, he's one of the longest tenured in the NFL, so that comes with something, with a little seniority. But also, he really, in him coming out and vocally verbalizing minority hires, how the league should handle this. I mean, he talked openly about one of the reasons to do this rule change was gambling. I mean, it seemed like he was talking about bigger things than just being the head coach of one team.
Well, he's always kind of had that view, I think. The thing I like best about Payton is he gets it from all sides for the most part. He understands, while, you know, he wants everything for the coaching standpoint, he wants his team to be protected at all costs. He also understands there's more to the NFL than just the football aspect. It's a big business, and there's a lot of things involved in making this huge windfall of money that the NFL has brought about. And he understands that they've got to be up on the business side as much as they are on the football side. I've always respected that about him. And I was a little surprised, to be honest with you, that he and Roger Goodell were able to kind of build fences and move forward. I mean, that's been one thing that I think has somewhat perplexed Sean over the years, that he's not really maintained a relationship after the Bounty Gate with Roger Goodell. And I think this was a big step forward for both of them, working on this rules change, kind of coming together for the good of the NFL. And I think we'll see that continue to evolve from here.
Speak with Jeff Duncan on TimeSpeak, UNOWA.com. Just two final things for you, Jeff. And we'll have you go enjoy a beautiful spring day out here as well. But, you know, you take a look at this team, and I was asking the question out there today, who is the most talented player or the best player on the Saints roster? Is it still Drew Brees? I didn't say important because I still think he's the most important. But I'm talking about the best player overall. I argued Alvin Kamara because I think you can take him and put him anywhere and he'll still be successful, and he can do a lot for your offense, changes the dynamic of your offense, changes what you can do with that offense as well. I know Thomas is good, but he's dependent on a good QB. Alvin, I don't know, Jeff, if you can hand the ball off to him or dump it off, but once you do that, Alvin can do his thing. I guess the point I'm trying to make is this team isn't any longer just Drew Brees. It's a handful of players that are really good, that are good enough that would be star players on other teams as well.
I would say Drew Brees is still clearly the most valuable player on the roster, just because he plays quarterback and that position touches the ball every play. But I think Alvin Kamara is the best running back in the league. He's the best player in his position in the NFL, and I don't think you can say that about anybody else. As good as Brees is, Cam Jordan, Marshawn Lattimore, even the tackles, I don't think they are the best at their position. But I think Alvin Kamara clearly is.
And I think you make a strong argument that he's only going to get better. You know, he's only entering his third season. I think the sky's the limit for him. I think he's going to be a perennial all-pro player, and now he's taking on a larger role. So I would expect his production to increase as well.
Final thing, I know you covered LSU's run in the Sweet 16 as well. We've talked a little bit about it this week, obviously. You know, just the thoughts on that, not only the game, but really the season. It stinks in this aspect of it. You have a lot of talent there. A lot of talent has to make a lot of decisions, Jeff, in a short amount of time, because obviously the NBA draft is coming up in June, and things you need to kind of start getting worked on and doing all those things coming up here next month in May, Combine in Chicago, all of that stuff. But you really can't do that unless you know who's the head coach. And I don't know where they go with that, man. It's like you want to get excited about LSU basketball, but you don't know how or if you should. What do you think happens? At this point, do you think LSU waits to April 22nd when that trial starts? Do you think you have to make a move before that to try to retain some talent? Or do you just make a move sooner than that?
Well, that's a good question. I think Joe Oliva and the administration have to be working on a plan there for an exit strategy for Will Wade. I would be shocked if Will Wade comes back, considering the circumstances. I mean, there's already a report that Tony Benford's headed to Texas A&M. I heard that at the regional, as a matter of fact. He came out and said today to the Baton Rouge Advocate that he needs to hear something from the administration soon as well. The whole program does.
So I would expect that there'll be some kind of buyout or parting ways in the very near future so the program can move forward with a clean slate. Everybody knows, including the players, where things stand so they can make these decisions.
You're right. There's so much unknown and uncertainty. But I would say this, don't give up on the program yet. I mean, like I went to the University of Louisville. They had as big a crisis as you could have with their basketball program, and they were able to lure Chris Knox
there, a very good coach. They're going to be very good in the next year or two with his leadership,
and I think LSU will attract a top coach as well. I don't think this is going to be a death blow to the program at all.
I hear you. We'll see where it goes from here on out. Jeff Duncan of the TimespeakUNOLA.com. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Go out and enjoy some beautiful weather, man.
I'm heading out right now, guys.
Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Yep, for sure. That was good. So what is the truth of Tony Benford here? Jeff Goodman of the Stadium tweeted 5 hours ago, expect LSU assistant Tony Benford to join Buzz Williams at Texas A&M. Source also says that Buzz will bring in assistant Jamie McNally with him. The Advocate 4 minutes ago tweeted, despite recent reports, LSU's interim coach Tony Benford said he hasn't spoken to recently hired Buzz Williams about joining the Aggies coaching staff. So is he staying? Is he going? The point is, it's that. These coaches need to know. If Will Wade's going to be fired, then they need to look for new jobs. That's what I'm getting at. I mean, I don't... How long can you wait? Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure. Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course. Even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
Keep up with your favorite shows on the go with TV Everywhere. Vision's TV packages now include TV Everywhere, so you can watch your favorites on any internet-connected laptop or mobile device, anytime, anywhere. Keep up with series, movies, and more from many networks in your TV package, including live sports on channels like ESPN. Just log in, make your selection, and enjoy. TV Everywhere. It's included with Vision's TV service.
Sign up now at viscom.net.
100 years of hard work can take you far. And no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up, and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
Thursdays have lunch with the Sports Hangover at our ESPN Lunch Club as we're live at Vinny's in Metairie, 3217 Ridgelake Drive. Each and every Thursday, we'll do the show live from Vinny's. We can enjoy delicious fresh wraps, burgers, and more. Vinny's is also home to the best happy hour in town, 3 to 7 p.m. every day. And that happy hour includes signature cocktails. Stop in this and every Thursday at Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie for the Sports Hangover, 12 to 3 p.m. on ESPN New Orleans.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one. Together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Coming up tonight at the Smoothie King Center, second to last home game for the Pels, taking on the Charlotte Hornets. Daniel Salerson, Pels Radio Network. And don't forget, this Pels Report, as always, is brought to you by Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive over in Metairie, where we will be tomorrow. Daniel, at the end of the season, man, you gotta come see us over at Vinny's.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds like fun. Do it.
All right, dude. Four games left. Let's see. Where do we go from here? Who's playing tonight? Because it kind of seems, since we last talked, man, lots of injuries, lots of players not being made available as of now, right, from this morning, who is at least listed as out?
Yeah, I mean, it's a laundry list of people that are out for the Pelicans. It's hard to even keep up, but right now it's Trayvon Blewett out, Drew Holiday out, Frank Jackson remains out, Darius Miller out, Etuan Moore out, and that wouldn't surprise me. Anthony's list is probable. He's been listed as probable for the last few games and has been out. So who knows? And Julius Randle left the game with an index finger sprain. He returned, but who knows? I know they need at least five, so we can guarantee that five will be out there. But after that, I can't guarantee much else.
I mean, look, I was joking that in that final game against Golden State, you know, you should play Sean Kelly, Pierre the Pelican. I actually said, you know what, one way to give back to the fans, first 1,000 people that show up, you're going to put them in the little part of the area and then have, you know, have some players go out and pick five players, suit them up. They get to keep the jersey. That's who you throw up against the Warriors, who likely will sit most of their starters, and that'll be the April 9th game. So you think that will fly?
It may be. I mean, I've been training for the last 2 weeks in anticipation of making my NBA debut on April 9th. So I don't know how it's going to turn out, but hey, why not? You know, might as well.
Look, it's at that point of the season, obviously, where teams that are high in the standings are just trying to get to the end of the year. And then there's still some battles, though, as you take a look at the rest of the NBA. And look, I understand the way the season is. It stinks for Pels fans. I think the future's going to be bright. I've talked a lot about that. But there's still going to be the NBA playoffs. I'm still going to watch, despite what a lot of people feel that the Warriors are wrapping this up. I think it's going to be as competitive as it has been the last couple years. Before we start going through the standings, do you think this postseason is going to be that?
I do, and I think that's big thanks to the Eastern Conference for that, because, you know, the last how many years since LeBron's been in the league, he's been in the playoffs every year, so five. And so a lot of the times in the East, it was basically a LeBron-led team, and that was kind of the
foregone conclusion that they would make the NBA Finals, but this year you're not going to see a LeBron team in the playoffs, number one, but two, of course, in the Eastern Conference. So you have four teams in Milwaukee, Toronto, Philly, and Boston who I can say today all have good chances of making the NBA Finals out of the East. I think it's going to be that competitive just based on the moves that each team has made. The Bucks have to get healthy, number one. They're without Middleton and Brogdon right now and Nikola Mirotic, but I think they'll be ready for the playoffs. Toronto made, of course, the Kawhi Leonard move, and they've been playing well all season long. Philly made a Tobias Harris move and Jimmy Butler during the season, and the Celtics have that young talent to go along with Kyrie Irving and Al Horford. So, yes, I think it's going to be a lot more fun, and I don't also think that it's a foregone conclusion that Golden State's going to win it all. I think they are the leading team again because they showed last night against the Denver Nuggets why they're the best team in the NBA still. But there are a lot of solid teams in the Western Conference that could compete. So, yes, I think this might be more competitive than in other seasons.
No doubt. You'll stay with the Eastern Conference as you're talking about there. Look, I think a lot of people gave Boston the conference before the season started based off of last year. Easily, Milwaukee's been a surprise this year. To have 58 wins. Giannis is in the MVP running, even though James Harden is going to make that tough, I think. Toronto 2, Philly 3, Boston 4. They will host, at least have the shot to host. But then you really got a bunch of teams kind of piled in. So 4 through 8 is really not decided yet, is it?
No, I mean, the fact that the Pacers, I know they have a losing record, losing Oladipo for the season, but the fact that the Pacers are still in the hunt to host a first round.
It's incredible.
And that goes to Nate McMillan and also how deep this Pacers team is without Oladipo. So it's no gimme that you put the Celtics and the Pacers in the first round. The Celtics are going to walk out of there with a first round win. So that's what makes these playoffs more intriguing. But 6, 7, 8, and of course you go down to 9 with Orlando just a half game back. And it's tough because Detroit's playing some good basketball now, but I don't see them really competing with the Sixers in a first-round series if it happens that way. Brooklyn's kind of struggled a little bit, and then you have Miami and Orlando, and technically Charlotte's still in it, but they're one loss away, basically, from kicking themselves out of this race. There's no guarantee what these first-round matchups are going to look like, but as I mentioned, it might be more of the second-round matchups that we look forward to in the East because I think the East is very top-heavy, but there are 4 or 5 talented teams in that mix that could easily say, wow, this team can make a deep run.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited to sort of look at it. And I think what's exciting from my standpoint, too, is, and I understand this, and you do too, Daniel, being a part of it, it's tough, man. What can probably likely take place this offseason in which you trade away a player like Anthony Davis. I understand that. But you mentioned the Pacers. This is Paul George leaving. Uh-oh, it's over. No, there they are. Second straight year likely they're going to be in the postseason. Look at the Nets. I mean, this is a team that finally, when they got their act together, got the right ownership, got the right general manager, did it right. Dude, they're tough out. I mean, you've seen them when the Pels have played them this year. They're talented. They're young. It can be done. And you're seeing that with a lot of the different teams just in that East, though. Yes, you need your stars. You need those guys like that. But you're also seeing some teams that are showing fans like us that you can be competitive and make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's what hopefully gives fans some hope for the offseason for the Pelicans is that you're going to have a new GM. I'm not sure about the coaching situation, but the GM will decide on that. You're going to have most likely a trade for Anthony Davis and what you get in return. You're going to have a draft pick, which has been hard to come by with the Pelicans in the past few years besides Buddy Hield and Anthony Davis. So there's a lot to look forward to, and I think though I've been trying to tell listeners in the postgame show is the unknown is kind of exciting because I feel like you're finally getting a chance to kind of hit the reset button in a case for a good way for New Orleans. And you look at the team like Indiana, and I go right to Milwaukee, and everyone has a stigma of these small market teams that can't win or can't keep superstars. That's not the case at all. Milwaukee drafted Antetokounmpo, I believe it was 13th overall, and they built around him. They've given him a competitive team that where, I mean, his decision might be easy enough where he signs a long-term deal in Milwaukee, and they're not worried about their star leaving. I think it just goes on. You have to draft well. You have to develop your players well. And between that and making some trades, there's no reason why the Pelicans can't be a team like Milwaukee or a team like Indiana. Or, I mean, look at San Antonio, how long they've been, relevant in the Western Conference. That's not a big market team. So the stigma of the small market can't hang. I think it's just a lazy approach to just saying, oh, well, the big markets are just going to keep all you guys. No, if you have things in the right order, I mean, look at Brooklyn, as you mentioned. They're a team that will finally have a first-round pick for the first time in, 5 years because of that trade they made with the Boston Celtics for Garnett
and Joe Johnson, all them, that's been back so far, but they finally are starting to build off of this young talent that they've acquired or traded for, and now will be able to develop through the draft. So I think that's more of a recipe as well. And you said the Paul George thing, that trade worked out for both teams, which is what you really want ideally for the Pelicans, is that the Pacers did fine. Victor Oladipo found his niche in Indiana. Paul George loves being OKC at Westbrook. They're trying to fight for a playoff spot where they're in. They're trying to make it deep. I mean, that's the thing that could certainly happen with the Pelicans this offseason.
D. Salerson's the way to follow Daniel Salerson over on Twitter. It's part of the Pels Radio Network. You can hear him with Sean Kelly doing those Pels games right here on ESPN New Orleans. You know, Daniel, you said it best, lazy. I'm with you. Nothing annoys me more. And I'm looking forward to you and I having a little dinner one night, man, when the season ends, just to go over this. Because it is lazy to say, oh, that marketing, no one wants to make. Really? Should I name some big cities? Because they're at the bottom of the East and Western Conference standings. Dallas is a major city, right? I mean, in L.A., New York, they've been perennial losers. So I don't want to hear that. New Orleans is not a big market, and they have one of the best football teams in the NFL, in the most popular sport. So stop it. I don't want to hear it. It was L.A. and New Orleans for the right to go to the Super Bowl. So I'm with you on that when it's lazy. It's lazy journalism. It's lazy just thought. But you brought up something that was interesting in some of these teams that are playing well. And I want to get your perspective, because this year you moved up to the color booth. You've called games as well for Sean. So you've had a really, I guess, more close look at the talent in the NBA right now. And I've said this, whoever the GM is or wherever the direction this franchise goes, looking and understanding that talent is everywhere, and I mean Europe, and I mean overseas, anywhere, is probably pretty important, right? I mean, you look at Doncic, what he's done in Dallas. I mean, I happened to be in Dallas for a Tulane game and was out at dinner one night before the game. And, dude, I was at a sports bar eating, and Daniel, people were locked in at the T-Wolves-Mavs game, and that guy is a star. He is a celebrity over there, the way he plays, and you love him. And he came from overseas, and he's something like that. And, obviously, they know their overseas players with Nowitzki. But you're seeing that. And Giannis, who's up for the MVP race, this is a guy that's not American. And I've always said this, the NBA is very global, and you're going to have some players and have had some players that aren't from here that are really taking that league elsewhere. And I think understanding that you can get talent from everywhere, you're seeing that infusion in an NBA. It's been there, but now you're really seeing it.
Right. I think all these teams will, I'm sure, have scouts that travel overseas to watch these different Euro leagues. I mean, of course, the Pelicans didn't brought in Dyrus Bertans to see what he kind of, because he was shooting lights out in Europe before he came here. It hasn't really worked out right now for him, but that's what this part of the season is for, is that I think all options will be on the table if you're the Pelicans, especially now with draft picks. I mean, that's one of the main reasons to go out there, but it's also looking at free agency. I think you do see a lot more teams going that route because there are players in these leagues that are getting better and better overseas, that there's talent, the talent pool. It's not just, oh, one really good player in this whole league and the rest of it's not the best. I think you're seeing some talented groups, and I think that's where you see the Doncic's, the Kristaps Porzingis's, Giannis, and Luka is the most recent one, and I think that's going to even grow higher and higher. And I think besides baseball being global, I think the basketball is probably the biggest or has the most global aspect or reach, I would say, out of all the leagues, and I think that's something that will continue to grow as these seasons progress. But I think all options are on the table for New Orleans. I think looking overseas is one of those options.
Daniel, let's quickly take a look at the Western Conference. Speak with Daniel Salerson, who's going to be, of course, part of the Pels Radio Network tonight. Pels taking on the Charlotte Hornets over at the SKC. So Golden State's 1, Denver 2, Houston 3, Portland 4, 5, Utah 6, Clippers 7, San Antonio 8, the Thunder. My goodness, dude. Look, I'm a huge Russell Westbrook fan. That guy reminds me of Jordan, that every single night the guy just wants to beat you. 20, 20, and 20. Wilt Chamberlain and him. That's it. I mean, that's 20s in a triple-double. It's a double-triple, right? It's what it's called. It's ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, and I saw a stat just a few moments before one of your show about the Thunder records in 16-17 when he has a triple-double. It's 74-24. So you can imagine what how important it is. I mean, you don't want to rely on having to have him get a triple double every night, but clearly it's something that they've had a lot of success mm-hmm. when he gets those numbers. And I think last night was more of a motivation because they've heading into last night's game, they lost 13 of their last 19, and they've dropped all the way to 8. I think there's motivation right now that you do not want to see the Golden State Warriors in the first round of the playoffs, especially the Warriors are healthy. They're starting to engage in their playoff mode because a lot of times you see them just stroll through the regular season going through the motions.
Right.
They really don't need to worry about anything until they get to the playoffs. They've gained 2 games on the Nuggets. Before our game on Thursday night against the Kings, the Nuggets and Warriors are tied for number one in the Eastern Conference. And since then, the Nuggets have lost 2 games on them. So unless something big happens, you'll probably see Golden State at number one. But you don't want to see the Thunder at the number 8 seed. One, I think that'd be tough for Golden State. I think obviously they'd win. But if you're Oklahoma City, you thought you were going to make a bigger run than just being out in the first round. So them tied with San Antonio's big. Even 5 and 6, Jazz and Clippers are separated by a half a game. That could mm-hmm. show whether you're a matchup with the Houston Rockets in the first round or the Portland Trail Blazers. And again, the Portland Trail Blazers are a team that, you know, everyone kind of rides off every year and they somehow do really well. And of course, the Pelicans liked that matchup last year and took advantage of it. But without Yusuf Nurkic, the Blazers are going to take a big hit. So I think everyone would, or some of these teams wouldn't mind trying to get to the 5 seed and get them in the first round, like Utah Jazz. So you don't want to see the Rockets in the first round because when Paul and Harden and Capella are healthy, they're one of the best teams in the league. And you don't want to see the Golden State Warriors. But you also have to jockey for even the second round. If you're in the 2-3 range or the 5-6, you don't want to see Golden State in the second round either. So if you can wait and avoid them for the Western Conference Finals, that's ideal. And I think that's why this last week is so huge for the West, because you see 1 and 2 clumped up, 3 and 4 is clumped up, 5 and 6, and 7 and 8. Those all could be flip-flopped by next Wednesday when the regular season ends, which is really exciting for the last week.
We're going to have Yon next week when the regular season ends to kind of give us a little playoff preview. But I want to talk then about the job that Popovich has done, the job that Doc Rivers has done with the Clippers. I mean, they made a trade, right, at the trade deadline for next year to try to get assets in, and you thought, okay, they're tanking. No, there they are in the 6th spot. I mean, it's crazy the jobs that they've done. But I want to close out with this, Daniel. When you take a look at 1 through 8, and you've called the games the way you've done, do you think it's the Warriors to win, or do you think we may see somebody else come out of the West?
I still think it's the Warriors to win. I think the Rockets went healthy. Obviously, they were, you know, a couple games of Chris Paul away from upsetting Golden State. I firmly believe that. I think Denver is such a young team that they're going from missing the playoffs last year to jumping all the way to the 2 seed. They just don't have enough experience, I think, to handle Golden State. I think they can still make a run, but I can obviously see them being vulnerable here in the playoffs just because of that lack of experience. They're very talented and have a very deep roster, but I think that youth will come into play, and I think that's where the Rockets and the Warriors maybe come out in the Western Conference, just because you had the Chris Pauls, the James Harden leading the way for Houston, and then you have the Golden State Warrior guys that got even better with Boogie, and you're starting to see what Boogie can do for them in the starting line. I mean, you have 5 All-Stars starting for them right now, if you want to talk about depth. So I think it's Golden State to lose, but it'd be very interesting to see how it plays out if it's Golden State versus like Milwaukee. But I think right now Golden State is my front runner right now.
Daniel, as always, man, appreciate the time on a game day for you to give us in the afternoon. Thank you.
Anytime, my friend.
For sure, man. Appreciate it. At D. Salerson's the way to follow him over on Twitter. Look, I am excited, aren't you? I'm excited about the playoffs. Look, it stinks. I understand that. With the Pels not going into postseason this year and stuff. But I do think, look, Golden State 53 wins, Denver 51, Houston 50, Milwaukee's 58. I mean, the Bucks have had a great year, man. Who do you like right now? Who do you want to see in the finals?
The Bucks.
I want to see Bucks Warriors. You? Or do you want to see somebody else out of the West?
I want to see someone else out of the West.
Okay, who?
Let me see the standings one more time.
Let's take a quick break and we'll talk about it, since you're not prepared. Thanks.
That's good.
Thanks for nothing.
I gave you Milwaukee.
And then you said, let me see the standings on the other conference. I just went through it, so you clearly didn't
I've watched more college basketball this year.
Oh, here we go. Really?
Yeah.
Did you?
Remember the 20 methods of attracting good luck. Be prepared.
Get a better intern. Yeah. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. That just goes on the
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
We're back. The Mary Bird Perkins TGMC Golf Classic is returning to the Bayou region April 8th through the 13th at Ellendale Country Club in Houma. This signature event features the area's only professional golf tournament and much-anticipated Pro-Am Day. Come enjoy good sportsmanship, good food, and fun, all for a great cause. For more information, go to marybird.org/TGMC/golf.
This is Stacy on her motorcycle.
What an incredible view!
And this is Stacy off her motorcycle.
Does this have sucralose in it?
On her motorcycle.
Oh, the wind in my hair!
Off her motorcycle.
It's pronounced etc., not etc.
On.
Woohoo! Yes!
Off.
No.
You're better on your bike. And with basic policies starting at $75 a year, quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
You know, I don't like the lack of belief in you just now when I just did a practice first pitch.
It was pretty weak.
Holding my mock child. April 18th, come on out to the Shrine on Airline. I'll be throwing out the first pitch. What do you want? You want a slider? You want a curve? You want a fastball? Two-seam, four-seam? What do you want? I'm asking you to pick the pitch. That's how confident I am.
Anyone that...
Yeah.
The hardest one for you to throw.
The hardest one to throw?
Yeah, for you. What's your... Like, what are you weakest in?
I don't know. I'm good in baseball. You have no faith in me, do you?
All I want to do is just stand up there with a bat and hit a dinger.
You're not. I promise you wouldn't hit a dinger. Even if they moved in the fences to play softball, you wouldn't be playing. No. It'd be more like, that's what you would hear. Nope. Swing and a miss. Yeah, I'm not lying to you. Maybe the first pitch might be high and inside, brush you back.
I might foul. What?
Joey, what do you think? You think I brush him back first pitch? Probably so, huh? A little chin music?
You going to warn me?
Yeah. Oh, that's definitely, yeah. I mean, that, you know what? Yes. That is the first pitch. High and inside. As hard as I can.
Just a bit outside.
Oh, it'll be just, see those little teeny chins you got right there under your chin? Might take one off with the strings.
I'm going to have to charge them out.
Well, I mean, it's up to you if you want to do that. You know,
it's going to look bad on me. You have a child.
It's part of baseball. It's part of baseball. Backing you off the plate. That's all.
Little chin music.
I'm wondering if right about now Tim Grubbs is dreading having us come out on
absolutely.
The first pitch.
Absolutely.
Now, look, there's a big decision to make on that day, too, right? I mean, the Cakes are taking on the Iowa Cubs. So my Cubbies are going to be there. And I joked with him yesterday when we had him on the show on Touch 'Em All Timmy Tuesdays. I said, hey, do I wear my Cubs jersey? I mean, I'm gonna be wearing my Cub gear. I always wear Cub gear, and he said like 80% of the ballpark will be wearing Cub gear.
I'm wearing my.
But do you dare wear the opposing team's uniform or colors when you are asked by the home team to throw out the first pitch? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm throwing out the first pitch at a Cakes home game. I can't exactly show up in a Cubs jersey and ball cap. In Cub shorts. Can I?
No.
I mean, what?
No.
Again, I'm like, I'm going to get booed. But then as he brought up, there probably going to be more Cub fans there, so I might get cheered. I mean, like, you know, they might be like, oh, look, Cubby. Never know. Maybe the Cub dugout may want me to come, you know, check out the game with them. Maybe like, wow, that was kind of, you know what, oniony to go do that. Why don't you come over on our bench? I mean, you know.
I mean, Matt would be like, and this is why this is our last season.
Yeah, right.
Because of this man right here, Gus Cattingale.
Look, I'll say this, and that's the thing that really, I guess, stinks more than anything else, yeah. Man. Again, I had the thrill of seeing Chris Bryant, a good third of the Cubs World Series winning roster, come through. And I've always said that, you know, for all these people, it's not good baseball. I'm like, okay. Some of your LSU players that have played on great teams that everybody knows, Tigers, right? I mean, names, they know them. They sometimes don't even make it to AAA. And if they do, they don't get out. It's incredibly difficult to make it to that level. That's why Kyler Murray, I think, chose the NFL. There's no guarantee. You can be a first-round pick. It's no guarantee. I mean, Mark Pryor, Kerry Wood, two high draft picks for the Cubs, made it there, short careers, got injuries. I mean, just, and they got there. You know? I've seen some big, big names for the Tigers. Guys that were on the World Series teams not make it out of AAA. You know, it's hard. But that to me was one of my thrills. Watching the Astros team that eventually went to the World Series. They lost that year to the White Sox. But, you know, Breckman, I mean, just, you saw, you know, Berkman rather. You saw guys that were with the Zephyrs, you know, go up with the Astros and play in Major League Baseball. You're a phone call away. I'll never forget it. Drizzly, rainy night, Chris Bryant at the plate. I'm nudging in. I'm like, pay attention. Get your head out of your phone. This is it. This guy's going to be with the Cubs this year. Here he is. Here's the savior. Crack. Left field, bomb. Next morning, 6:30, guy was on a Southwest flight, played with the Cubs, 1:20 first pitch the next day. And the rest is history. And then they won a World Series and he won an MVP. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I very rarely can get to go to a major league game. I could have watched major league guys, literally, guys that won an MVP and won a World Series play down the street from my house. I am going to miss that. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.